Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to have one of the greatest tennis players of all time, Chris Evert, with us, and she's here to talk about the U.S. Open, but not only that, but how IBM is introducing their power rankings with Watson and also Open Fantasy Tennis as well, and we'll get into that. And Chris, for you, when you think about the wood rackets and the Stan Smiths and how tennis has changed, and now we have these like internet clouds hanging over our heads. But deep down, is it still the same game to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same game as far as once you're on the court and you're battling against the other person and the strategy and the power and the finesse and the mental side. It's just gone up a couple levels and new things have been added, like new rackets and different balls and different strings in the rackets. But it's still the same game. It's a very mental game.
The thing that I always loved about you was your serve was, here it is, I'm going back to the baseline and I'm going to wait for you to make a mistake. Is that kind of simplistic, but that was kind of your approach?
I think in the beginning, it was outsteading my opponent. But remember, I came on the scene like at 15, 15, 16 when I was young, and I was slight and I wasn't strong and I hadn't fully developed. But I think once I got into my middle 20s, late 20s, then I started, I had a little bit more armor and I could hit the ball a little bit harder. But I would place the ball. I'd still control the point, but it wouldn't be with power necessarily. It would be with placement. I'd like to just wear my opponent down and use the drop shot. But certainly there were better athletes than me. And my forte, I think, was the mental toughness.
No doubt. And you say you were slight. The two-handed backhand, and I remember, Borg, his Donné had extra leather up so he could get two hands on it. Was that something that was still accepted, or did coaches say, what are you doing with two hands on your backhand?
My dad was my coach, and I started playing when I was 6 years old, and he used to take me after kindergarten. He picked me up or my mother wouldn't drop me off. And I wasn't very happy about that because I would much rather have gone over to my girlfriend's house and had a barbecue. But I remember in those days, we didn't have the cutoff rackets. We didn't have the smaller rackets like they do nowadays for kids. So I was using the same racket my dad was using at 6 years old. So I would go to hit a backhand and the racket would flop out of my hand. So that's when I grabbed it with two hands. And that was the only way I could survive and any way I could get the ball over the court. And my dad let me do it. He was like, okay, well, right now you can do it. But as you get stronger, because he had a one-handed backhand. As you get stronger, the one-handed backhand is better. Okay, it's more versatile. So when I was 9, 10 and he wanted to change it, he decided not to. And we decided, no, it's like my best shot now. Little did I know, on the other side of the world, Bjorn Borg was doing it. In St. Louis, Jimmy Connors was doing it. So we all kind of had our own reasons for starting the two-handed backhand.
Was your dad's racket one of those T.A. Davis with the wing nut frames you'd have to put it in?
Oh, like the, what were they called?
Tads? Were they?
Tad Davis. Yeah, I used them all. And we had a press. It was called the press.
Yep.
And you had to screw the press in and put your racket in so they wouldn't warp. Yeah. Wow, that's going way back.
Yeah, well, I remember I'm in my 50s, and it was a thrill for me when I was 16 to work at the Avon Tennis Tournament at the Oakland Coliseum. This is 1981, and I remember you playing Leslie Allen, so tall, and whenever she made a good shot, she'd make a winner, some cross-court winner, and you would say, just barely audibly, you'd go, yep, and you'd kind of like, yep. Good shot.
Yeah.
Was that your kind of thing? Yeah. Like, you got me. Yep.
Yeah, I was, or too good. I mean, I always gave my opponent, I always gave them credit. If they hit an outright winner, it's like, whoa, too good. Or, yep. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. I mean, that was what, I think they were good sports back in the day. I mean, remember Rod Laver and Stan Smith. And I mean, we pretty much complimented each other if they made a great shot.
And I think, too, the way, I mean, I remember looking at Wimbledon and on the scoreboard, it said, you know, Mrs. J.M. Lloyd. Like, there's no way that would happen today, right?
Yeah, they're actually talking about, they actually talked about this Wimbledon take off the Mrs., the husband's name and just put the woman. When people look at that, they see Chris Evert twice and they see Mrs. John J.M. Lloyd. Mm-hmm. And they think I won Wimbledon twice. You know, they don't know who that is. So, so that is interesting. I mean, I've always kept my name Chris Evert. I've always been Chris Evert, even when I've been married. So, but that's the way the way Wimbledon does it. So, you know.
Couple more questions for Chris Evert. I remember, what was it, 5-6 years ago, you had the open letter to Serena, basically saying in a nutshell, you know, if you concentrate on tennis, you'll be the greatest of all time. Looking back now, I mean, how was that received then? And then how is it received now, do you think?
From her?
Yeah,
from
Serena, sorry.
I don't think it was well received. Really, I didn't get any reply, but I think I apologized to her after that because I her sister had passed that year, and I was aware of it, but I didn't take that into full consideration. Like, that took a long time for her to get over, you know. And yeah. I only saw the outside of, oh, she's not really giving it her all. She's not playing every tournament. She doesn't seem to be training 100%, but boy, does she have so much talent to be the greatest of all time. And she was also doing a lot of other things. She was, you know, going to movie premieres, and she's just doing a lot of other things. And I just thought, I just wrote that letter. And so I don't think it was that well received. But at the end of the day, it kind of turned out true, didn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. One more tennis question for you, then we'll get to the IBM stuff. But
okay,
I remember, you know, in high school watching Borg McEnroe, you know, still probably the greatest match I ever saw. And I ran to the park with my tennis racket. You know, I'm from, you know, the Bay Area, but there were 100 people running to the courts. It's just the tennis in the 70s, the 80s, the panache, the characters. And every 4th of July, there was going to be you know, an American in the final for the men and the women at Wimbledon. How are we now with U.S. tennis?
Well, the problem hasn't been, what's happening to U.S. tennis. The issue has been that it's just a global sport. And it really wasn't a global sport 30, 40 years ago. It was basically Australia, U.S., and a couple of other countries dribbling in. But now every corner of the world, tennis is the number one or number two sport in those smaller countries. So it's more global. So maybe it's not as good for America, but it's good for the rest of the world. I mean, isn't that what we want to look at globally? In saying that, when I look at the women that we have, you know, I'm looking at Jennifer Brady, Coco Gauff, Sophia Kennan, I mean, at Madison Keys. I mean, I think we've had a lot in the last year of young players. Danielle Collins has come sort of out of nowhere. So, I mean, I'm optimistic. I think Coco Gauff is going to win a Grand Slam like in the next 2 years. And, you know, Sophia Kennan already has. Madison Keys is always right there in the semis. And so, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic. And I think the guys are doing pretty well too. I mean, I think when I look at the young American guys, I think they're starting to have some results, especially in the last few weeks.
Is it true you apologize, like on behalf of all Americans, that Johnny Mack didn't go to the ball at Wimbledon? He was like the first guy. He didn't show.
Yes. Oh, I don't know what.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right.
He had a few words.
All right, let's talk about before
we're
we
good. We're friends now, so that's
it. Okay, that's good.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Sure. No, I'm just, these things are shooting through my head. The U.S. Open this year, IBM, the digital partner of the U.S. Open, is revealing all these new innovations with Watson and fantasy tennis and others, right?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, basically it's the IBM Power Rankings with Watson and also the Match Insights with Watson, just to keep the fans a little more involved and a little more informed. I love the idea of the Power Rankings, because as we know, a ranking consists of 52 weeks out of the year. So that doesn't always reflect who's playing well at the moment. And the Power Rankings are all about who are the hottest players, who's trending upwards, who's done well most recently, who has the momentum. And so it can kind of give you a little more of an insight into the current players. And the Match Insights are great too, because they're like a cheat sheet. And it's like you can, I think you have it, it's like a cheat sheet, and you can see the matches, the lineup, who's the likelihood to win for this person, the likelihood to win for this other person. And it doesn't even mean that they're ranked ahead. They can be ranked below them, but they're playing better currently. So, you know, it's just another artificial intelligence that's kind of taking over. And we'll be talking about it on ESPN. It'll be integrated in the broadcast on a daily basis. So just to make, you know, kind of more accessible and more interesting on TV as well.
One of the greatest of all time. She won every Grand Slam, every surface. It's Chris Everett, always classy. And remember, go to usopen.org to find out more about IBM and the digital partner of the U.S. Open. Chris, thank you so much for coming by, and hope we catch up soon.
Thank you.
All right, bye. Good stuff. I'll take a quick break. I will come back. I'm Rick Tittle, and this is Sports Byline USA.